Come on, come on, come on. All right. Hey, so I absolutely love a transformation story, okay? Maybe you've ever heard of Transformation Tuesday. Come on, anybody, you heard that before? Yeah, Instagram reels, you know, people love, they post like these transformations. And I think just in general, we love transformations. And maybe it's a story of someone who is extremely unhealthy that becomes incredibly fit. And they post kind of this transformation and you're like, what in the world? There's no way that's the same person. Like, this is incredible transformation that they have gone through. Everybody loves to see that. It just brings a smile to your face, right? Maybe it's someone who is strung out on drugs and alcohol and really struggling. They're down and out. And then they become clean. And then they become successful. And they have this amazing family. Like, their family was broken. Now their family's back together. And, man, it's just an incredible transformation story. We all love to see a story like that. Somebody say amen. Come on now. But my favorite transformation story, especially as a pastor and as a Christian, is when there's somebody that is far, far from God, somebody who is staunchly opposed to Jesus, opposed to the church. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with Christians. And then they give their life to Jesus. Come on. That is my favorite kind of transformation. And I think we can celebrate that. You've seen people in your life. We've seen people in our church that have had these kinds of transformations. And we celebrate them every single time. Really, this is the story of Paul. He was first known as Saul, and then he ended up going by his other name of Paul. And if you've been around any time this year, you know that we're going through the entire book of Acts this year in our series called Supernatural. This is actually part 15 of our series, Supernatural. And we're just walking through the book of Acts. And man, I got to tell you, I was so excited to get to this point, to Acts chapter 9. And it's because we get to talk about this man, Saul, who was so far away from God, who was really just stuck in this religious system and yet was so far and was sinning left and right and was actually persecuting and killing Christians, putting them in prison. And yet God interrupts him where he was in his life and changes everything. So I cannot wait to talk to you today about our message, Transformed by Jesus. Somebody say, Transformed by Jesus. Come on now. I'm going to read this to you. Acts chapter 9. Starting in verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, actually, before I get too far, hold on now. I just want to explain, we talk about Saul and Paul, okay? A lot of people have a misconception that Jesus actually in this story changes Saul's name to Paul, right? Maybe you've been taught that before, maybe you've heard that preached that, you know, Jesus changed Saul to Paul. And really, at the end of the day, that's just inaccurate. It's just not true. He actually had both names from the very beginning. He had dual citizenship. He had Roman citizenship, but he was also a Jew. So he had his Hebrew name and he had his Greek name. So he had both of these names the entire time. But at some point in the story, Luke, who is writing the book of Acts here, he actually changes and he starts using his other name of Paul. And people start calling him Paul instead of his other name, Saul. I'm not going to get too much into that today. I just want to make sure you know, if we're talking about Saul or we're talking about Paul, it is the same person. Okay, here we go. So he's breathing out these murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, they didn't even call them Christians yet, they just called them followers of the way or followers of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground. When he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind, did not eat or drink anything. So from there, God shows up in a vision to this man named Ananias. And Ananias is a follower of the way. He's a follower of Jesus. And he tells him that there's this guy named Saul that's going to come, and he's supposed to pray for him to receive his sight back. Now, here's the deal. Ananias knows who Saul is, okay? Saul is not just this dude that's going around imprisoning Christians and killing them, but nobody knows. He's very important. He's pretty high up in the ranks, and everybody has been hearing about him. So Ananias, he's basically talking with the Lord, and he's like, excuse me, are you sure about this? Because I don't think I should be anywhere near him, because he will literally kill me, okay? So probably not a good idea for me to be around this guy, especially close enough for me to put my hands on him to pray for him, Lord, right? He says, no, listen, you just got to pray for him to receive his sight back. Ananias listens. In verse 17, Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Isn't that such a cool story? Come on now. This guy who was so far from God, who is breathing these murderous threats, the word of God says, out against Christians, who was on his way to Damascus to do a whole bunch of evil things. And yet, in the middle of this trip, Jesus finds him. This light shines before him. He can't see. And then Jesus appears to this other guy, Ananias. They both end up meeting, puts his hands on him. He's able to see again. Obviously, this is God. Obviously, he now has this crazy experience and he believes in Jesus and he gets baptized. What does that tell you and me today? And I think this is the most encouraging thing that you will hear all day today, is that God can save anyone. Amen? God can save anyone. It doesn't matter how far you are from God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you have in your life. God can save anyone. This is the core of the gospel. This is the good news. This is what we believe, is that all of us are deserving of death, right? The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Ain't no perfect people here today. None of us are inherently good. Now, a lot of people would say, well, most people are pretty much good, right? For the most part, like, I'm a pretty good person. We're born pretty good. The Bible actually does not say that at all. The Bible says that we're all born inherently sinful. We're all born into this lost and broken world, and we're all in need of a Savior. None of us are inherently good, but when you encounter the radical love of Jesus, come on, everything changes. Somebody say amen today. So who was Saul? Who was this guy? Who was he pre-Jesus, right? A lot of people would call that BC, before Christ, right? Who was I BC? And I want to talk a little bit about who he was before, because you might be like, well, maybe he wasn't such a bad guy. Like, who? I don't really know what he did necessarily. But he tells us in 1 Timothy, he's writing a letter to Timothy, and he says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. He's a violent guy. He's filled with anger. He's filled with hatred in his heart towards Jesus and towards these Christians. You got to think, Saul was not told to go to Damascus to do all of these things. He literally went to the chief priest and asked him if he could go to Damascus to put these people in prison and probably do much worse. He was so filled with hate that he went out of his way to do a job that he wasn't even asked to do, and asked if he could do all these evil things, asked if he could go to Damascus. This is the kind of violent man that he was. And once again, in verse 15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I love that he says that. Hey, listen, all of us are sinners, and I am the worst of the worst of the worst. Ain't nothing that you have ever done that is worse than what I have done. And then in Acts 26, a while later, he's kind of reflecting on the things that he used to do. He's reflecting on his life. And he says, on the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. When they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. You guys remember the story of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen, how they killed him. He was the first martyr. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And it says at the very end, and Saul approved of his killing. And it says that the people there laid down their cloaks at Saul's feet, and that he was actually there approving of it. He cast his vote against Stephen. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to blaspheme, and I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities like Damascus and beyond. So what do we know? Saul was the worst of the worst. He hated Jesus, he hated Christians, and yet God had a better and bigger plan for him. Amen? Come on, God had something way better in store than for him to be going around and persecuting his people. He had good plans for his son. He was on this road to Damascus, on the road to imprison these believers, on the road with hatred in his heart, the road of anger, the road of unbelief. And in a moment's notice, Jesus takes him off the highway to hell and brings him to the highway to heaven. Come on now. All my 80s people say amen. You know, come on now. I know you out there. This man named Saul ends up going by his other name, Paul, goes on to tell the entire known world about Jesus. I'm not talking like tells a few people about Jesus. I'm not talking about like he evangelizes at work, you know, and like gets a couple of coworkers saved. That's great. Maybe gets his family saved. Awesome. No, literally, this man writes most of the New Testament that you and I have in our Bible today and goes on to tell the entire known world about Jesus and plants churches left and right in all these places and empowers new Christian leaders and pastors to take this gospel and to take the message of Jesus all around the world. That's the guy we're talking about right now. I could stop right here, right? This is the most encouraging thing we'll hear all day, that God can save anybody. It's like he was the worst of the worst. Jesus encountered his life, and now he's a completely changed man. Come on, anybody want to get saved today? You know what I mean? Like, just give our life to Jesus. We could go home. We could stop right here, but yet we have a lot more to get through today. Amen. Here we go. If God can save Saul, he can certainly save you, can't he? If God could save Saul, he could definitely save that coworker of yours that's like way far gone, right? What about that family member, that son or that daughter, that mom and dad, or that brother or sister, man, that's just so far away from God. They're not serving the Lord. You see, like, they're so far away. And honestly, within ourselves, sometimes we have this line of thinking. We're like, man, that would be a real tough one for God to get, right? They're going to be a real, that's going to be, you have your work cut out for you there, you know, like, and yet he says, I was the worst of the worst. And all it took was one encounter. All it took was 1 second of Jesus showing up in his life and everything was changed. If God can use Saul, if God can use this man, Paul, to change the world, then he can certainly use you. He's certainly used me when I was running away from Jesus, and I'm so grateful for it. How many of you are grateful for Jesus being able to save you and use you even when you were far from God? Come on, man. It's a blessing that God even has us in this place today. God meets us right where we're at. I love this. He didn't wait until Saul was cleaned up. He didn't wait until he confessed his sins and then he showed up. No, no, no. He was literally on the road to imprison and kill Christians. And it was on that road that Jesus decided to show up, right in the middle of it. And I love that Jesus meets you right where you're at, guys. Isn't that a great truth? That you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to be perfect. Yet Jesus is meeting you right here, right now, even in this place at Radical Church today. The Spirit of God is in this room and Jesus is here. And say, hey, I want to meet you right here, right where you're at. And Jesus can change your life in an instant too. He meets us right where we're at. And this is just a great truth. I want to, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down as well, that Jesus seeks the lost. Amen? He looks for the lost. He seeks after the lost. How do we know this? Well, he said it himself. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. He said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I came that they may have life and life more abundant. And that there's a life and there's a purpose and there's a plan and there's an opportunity to have this life that's so much better than anything that we could ever dream up on our own. And while Saul was on this road to Damascus with full intent in his heart to do evil, all kinds of stuff, to destroy the lives of the Christians that were there, Jesus sought him out anyway. I think that's so powerful. And for me, it's kind of this, the epitome of that verse. It's one of my favorite verses. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. if I could change it up a little bit, even it for the sake of misinterpreting scripture and like literally changing the word of God, I don't want to do that, but I think it's theologically sound. Here we go. That while we were still sinners, Jesus sought us out. While you and I were still stuck in the junk of our lives, still stuck in sin, Jesus met us on the road to destruction and turned our lives around. That's some good news, y'all. When you were on the road to destruction, when you were living completely opposed to God, not giving him the time of day, while you were running from Jesus, he was running right towards you. You could have been running hard down the wrong path too. And some of y'all know, like, hey, your testimony is like a testimony, right? You know, I was running like hard down the wrong way, going way, way, way sideways. You could be running so far down the wrong path, not even looking towards God at all, and he'll meet you there anyway. It doesn't matter. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your junk. He's not afraid of your sin. And there's no one that is too far gone for the radical love of Jesus to reach. He isn't mad at you, man. He loves you. He isn't mad at that coworker. He's not mad at this other person in your life. No, listen, he loves them so much, and we have to see them the same way. Amen? And there's something that, it's kind of a side point, if I could today. If you want to write this down, I think it's good. It's something to ponder, something to think about. But it's that while Christians were running away from Saul, Jesus was running toward him. It's just something I thought about. Everybody else is running away. No one thought that he had a chance. Everybody was afraid of him. Ananias was afraid of him. He didn't want to go talk to Saul. For good reason, let's be honest, right? He didn't want to die, okay? But then actually later, and we'll see this in just a little bit at the end of the message, the other disciples, when he goes back to Jerusalem, he's in Damascus and he ends up going back to Jerusalem, the other disciples didn't want anything to do with Saul either because they also were afraid of him. They're like, hey, hold on a second. This dude was real messed up and now he's here? Listen, while Christians were running away from Saul, Jesus was running toward him. And I think many times we run away from the people in this world that hate us for our faith. We just run away from them. We don't want anything to do with them. And I understand why we would do that. You know, these people in our lives that don't think the same way that we do, that don't believe the same things that we believe about God or religion, they don't go to church, man. They don't believe in God. They're not particularly nice about it either, right? You know these kind of people. And because of that, we run away and we don't want anything to do with them. And I just wonder today if maybe Jesus is asking somebody in this room to run toward that person. You say, man, I'm running toward them. Why are you guys, where are y'all going? That's my son. That's my daughter. And I want them back. Why are we running away from them? And so I would just ask you to ponder that today because here's the deal. We have to truly believe that God can save anyone. If you don't believe that God can save anyone, then it would make sense why you would run away from them. Because you think, well, they're just too far gone. They're just going to influence me poorly or whatever it might be. And I understand there's some wisdom there. But man, Jesus is running after them. And you have to believe first and foremost that God can save anyone, even the furthest away. Really, it's a miracle that any of us are in this room today. Let's be real with ourselves. Come on, somebody say amen to that, right? Like, it is a miracle that you and I are in this place today. Whether you remember it or not, whether you are trying to forget it or not, there is a time that you were lost too. There is a time when you needed salvation. And aren't you glad that Jesus ran toward you? Come on, I'm sure glad he ran towards me when I was running away from him, when I had my head turned and I was being a dumb 21-year-old. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we all have those times in our lives. Maybe for you, it was middle school, high school, college. Man, there's some people in this room, and I know your story. There's some people in this room that didn't get saved until they were 50, 60, 70 years old that go to our church. It's wild. It's insane. So you mean to tell me for 60 years you were running away from Jesus, wanted really nothing to do with them, and then in an instant, God changes everything. Yes, absolutely, that's what I mean. And there was a time when we all needed salvation, man, and Jesus turned our lives around, and man, he gave us a new life in Jesus. The old man is gone. The old life is gone. The new man has come. The new life has come. And the truth of the gospel is, and this is just a great truth in general, is that long before you ever looked for God, he was looking for you. Long before you ever searched for God, before you ever donned the doors of a church, long before you ever read your Bible, long before you sang a song or you prayed a prayer, Jesus was already seeking you out. And Jesus tells three parables in Luke 15 that is all about this idea of the lost being found. And that Jesus cares about lost people being found. It's the lost sheep is the first parable, then the lost coin, and the third one is the lost son, otherwise known as the prodigal son. But these three stories, lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son, and they go a little bit like this, if I could paraphrase. If one sheep is lost, will you not leave the 99 to find the one? Maybe you've heard this before, right? If you have, the coin one is, if you have 10 valuable coins and you lose one of them in your house, would you not give your iPhone flashlight to one of your kids and say, look under the couch and find it, right? You know, like you would. It's important. You got to find that thing. And if you're a father that has a son that has left and gone away, would you not run out to meet him and celebrate him when he finally comes home? Each of these stories end with the same idea. And I want to read to you the last verse in all three of these stories. And it's all the same idea, the same theme. The end of the parable of the lost sheep says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have not strayed away. The lost coin ends, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Come on now. And the story of the lost son, of the prodigal son, the father is saying, we had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Come on. The point of all these stories is that Jesus celebrates lost people being found. And that's why we sing songs like Amazing Grace. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way before, really analyzed the lyrics before, but if you know it, I'd encourage you. Come on, let's sing just a moment of it. Ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Come on, do you hear the story of Saul in there? Do you hear it? Do you hear the story? Do you hear this theme of, man, we're all wretched sinners. Like, we all have sin in our lives, but thank God that I was lost, but now I am found. That I was blind, but just like Saul, and had scales, something like scales, fall off of his eyes, and now he was able to see. Man, I'm grateful to Jesus that he has given me spiritual eyes to be able to see today. Man, I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life, and I hope that you are too. Jesus has the power to transform lives from the inside out. But what I love here is that the Holy Spirit gives us the power then to live out that new life. It's not just Jesus gives me, you know, this transformed life, and then he's like, all right, you're on your own, right? But what we've been talking about this whole series is that the Holy Spirit gives us power to live out the new life, that he is who leads us into all truth and into all righteousness, that he will direct our every step. And if you let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, man, you're going to be able to live a life that honors God. You're going to be able to obey the commands of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit empowers the found. Where Jesus is looking for the lost, the Holy Spirit empowers the found. Well, you might say, hey, listen, I understand, but it's just not that simple, right? Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, like it's not gonna take, I can't immediately just have my life be changed. It doesn't work like that. Well, you better call Saul, because that's how it happened for him. Come on now, I had to get the reference in there somehow. I'm not gonna preach a message about Saul and not do that. Anyway, okay. Acts 9:20, here we go, Bible. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Somebody say, at once. Not eventually, not a few weeks later, not a couple months from then when he had time to be discipled, you know, and everybody really made sure that he was legit. At once, he went out and started preaching about Jesus. At once, he was changed. It was immediate. It wasn't this long process. Listen, let me keep going. Oh my goodness, I'm getting ahead of myself. All those who heard were astonished and asked, isn't this the same man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. It says, at once, Saul was changed immediately, instantly. He was transformed by Jesus. And if I can be honest, I think sometimes we downplay God's ability to transform somebody's life immediately. Almost as if people never find instant healing. That they never find instant healing from their past or immediate healing from addiction or freedom, whatever that might be. And listen, I'm not trying to say that it's a one size fits all kind of approach. There are times when God moves in different ways, and sometimes there's this process of sanctification, and there's this process of somebody, you know, becoming this new man and their old life being gone. But many times it is instantaneous and immediate. And I think sometimes we downplay God's ability to change somebody immediately. If I have an encounter with the living God, man, something's got to change. That's at the end of the day. If you love Jesus and you have an encounter with Jesus, but your life still looks the same as it did before, I'm questioning that. I'm like, hey, what in the world's going on? Something's got to look different. And for Saul, everything looked different. If God can speak the entire universe into existence, I think he could probably speak your sin out of existence. You think? I think he has the power to do that. He's all powerful. He's almighty God. And when you are found, when you're not lost anymore, you've given your life to Jesus, you're found by God, he gives you the power by the Holy Spirit to overcome all things and to live this new life. Listen, Satan had sent Saul down this road to Damascus to do all kinds of evil things. But God knew if he could just catch him on the way, things would change. If I just get him before he gets there, everything could be different. Oh my goodness. Jesus shows up on the road to destruction, on the road to evil, on the road to the worst possible thing, the road to unbelief. He shows up right in the middle of it. I said, Saul, what are you doing? And Saul turns to him. He knew if he could catch him on the way, that he could redeem the journey and the path that he was on for good. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. That's some Old Testament for you. Now, I want you to catch this. You got to think about this for a moment. Saul was on the way to Damascus to do all this evil stuff. It's revealed that they obviously knew that he was coming to do this. Because they said, isn't this the guy who was causing all that trouble in Jerusalem? Isn't he also the guy that was coming here to do all this bad stuff to us? So they knew he was coming. They knew all the stuff that he had done before. And now, because Jesus met him on the way, by the time he gets there, he gets prayed for, he gets baptized, and now he goes out, and now he's doing something a little bit different. Because Satan sent him to persecute, but God sent him there to preach. Satan sent him there for evil, but God sent him there for evangelism. And listen, Satan might have you walking down the wrong path right now, but when Jesus shows up on the scene, your trial becomes your testimony now. Your pain becomes your purpose. And what was meant for evil gets turned to good, and it's all because of the blood and name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers the found. When you give your life to him, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to obey the commands of Jesus. Your old life is gone, new life has come. And listen, I just think sometimes the hardest time, Christians have the hardest time with this. We really do. With somebody getting saved, it's like radical kind of salvation. In Acts 9:26, it says, when he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not really believing that he was a disciple. not believing that he was really a disciple. They didn't think he was actually saved. They're like, this guy? Nah. For real? Yeah, I know you've thought that before. Man, this dude was out partying last week. And I see him at Radical Church on Sunday. You know? I know what she's done. We'll see how long this lasts, right? We'll see, you know, it might just be a phase for her. Probably not legit. I think many times we're quick to judge somebody who's come to Christ. The disciples were. Ananias, he didn't want anything to do with this guy. The disciples didn't want anything to do with him. But you got to understand why, in a sense, because literally there were some of them that Saul had killed their family. They killed Stephen, one of their best friends. They knew he was there. And now he comes back from Damascus, the supposed changed man. And they're pushing back on that a little bit. And they're like, hold on, like I don't really know if this is legit. But yet, we have to believe that God can save anyone. Even the worst of the worst, even Saul, this man who... Man, God, he literally killed my family last week, and I have friends in prison because of this guy. And now he's here saying he's a disciple of Jesus. Like, how? I mean, okay, like, how am I supposed to forgive him? Or how do we move on from here? Like, what do I do? But yet, if we really believe in the power of God to change hearts and change lives, we got to celebrate that. And that's hard to do. But man, maybe you're in this place today, and you know somebody that's far from God. And man, when they give their life to Jesus, man, I would hope that we would just wrap our arms around them. You know, there's Russell Brand just got saved, right? He just got baptized. And there's this OnlyFans model that just got saved. And you know who absolutely were the worst people towards them over the next few weeks after they got saved? All the Christians. Well, we'll see if they're really saved or not. We'll see if they're fruit. We'll see. And I understand there's some wisdom in that. But at the same time, how hateful. When they just got saved, they just gave their life to Jesus, and Jesus celebrates lost people being found, and he says there's more rejoicing in heaven, and yet we're here criticizing. Oh my goodness. If everybody would just stand in this place, I just want to give you the opportunity today to say yes to Jesus. I just feel like there's somebody in this place today. Maybe you relate to Saul. You relate to this guy. Man, I feel like I've done a whole lot of messed up stuff, and I just, you know, I need to give my life to Jesus today. This is the gospel. This is the good news that Jesus came down to this earth. He became sin who knew no sin. He lived a life just like you and me. What kind of God does that, right? He put himself on the cross, put himself in the position that you and I deserved, and died a horrendous death, but yet he beat death, hell, and the grave, and on the third day, come on, we believe, that stone was rolled away, and he rose again, and he's alive today, and he loves you so much, and he cares for you, and he cares for me, and God knows every hair on your head, every thought that you have in your brain, every desire that you have in your heart, and he loves you so much the same way that he loved Saul, even on the road to do evil, on the road to Damascus. I believe there's somebody in this place today that you're on the wrong path. You're on the wrong road, and you know it. And God has you right here today. And this is literally the interruption moment. This is your Damascus Road experience. This is your time and your chance to encounter a living God who has already been seeking after you. And all you have to do is just turn to him and say yes. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. It was the best decision I ever made in my life. I don't know what I would do without God. And my life's not perfect, and I got a lot of things I still deal with, and we all do. But he'll change you. It just, you become a different person. I don't know what you're struggling with, if it's mental health, if it's addiction, if it's and really anything. If you have a falling apart marriage, if you got PTSD, if you have trauma, if you have, God can heal you from every single bit of that, give you a new life. Maybe you just feel like, I don't really need God. You might be in a really good place. You might have all the money in the world. You might be successful. People think highly of you. You got a lot of friends, got a lot of family. Everything seems to be going well. But there's just something that feels like it's missing. Let me tell you, it's Jesus. And God wants to encounter you in this place today, the same way he did Saul. So if that's you and you say, you know, I haven't been living for God. I'm going down this path and I can feel the Holy Spirit here today. I'm going to give my life to him. Maybe for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus today. I want to give you the opportunity. On the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand and look up at me so I know who I'm praying with today. And you can put your hand right back down, but I just want to know who I'm praying with. I want to see you. If that's you, you want to give your life to Jesus, on the count of three, one, two, three, would you raise your hand right now? Look up at me. I see you over here. Come on, I see you, my man. I see you right here. Come on, I see you guys. I see you right here. Come on, guys, let's go. Back here, oh, hands held high together. I love it. You can put your hands down. Come on, I see you. I see you. My goodness. Good Lord. This is incredible. I count at least 16, 18 people in this room right now. Come on, can we give God praise for a second? This is beautiful. Wow, this is amazing. There's some of you, I feel like this is a word from the Lord. I didn't say this last service, but I was saying earlier that we have to believe that God can save anyone. And there's somebody that just had the thought right now that you said, that you just realized that God can save me, right? Like, oh, wow. Like, it was just this revelation that it's not, I'm not talking about other people, but now I'm thinking about myself. Like, God can save, he can save me. Like, God can use me. There's a lady that comes to church here, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but after third service, she said, you know, I was in a gang. I did a lot of messed up stuff, dabbled in witchcraft for a long time and all this kind of stuff. Do you think that God could still use me? I said, you better go read Acts chapter 9 and read about a guy that God still used, even though he was the worst of the worst. And I hope that you're feeling encouraged today. Those of you that raised your hand or saying yes to Jesus, rededicating your life to him today. I mean, I'm going to pray for every single one of you, because there are a lot of you in this place. Maybe you got a relationship with the Lord, but there is somebody in your life that you know is like really, really far out there, that they're going down that really bad path. And you have thought in your heart, man, God, you have your work cut out for you. It's going to be difficult. I don't know if God can save them, whatever it might be. And maybe you've ran away from them, but Jesus is saying, hey, would you just run toward them? Would you run toward that person? Would you get near them? Would you get close to them? Maybe you're the opportunity. Maybe you're the only Jesus that they'll ever see in their life. You might be the only representation of Jesus that they'll ever get. Let's run toward those people. Come on, let's bow our heads together and pray. Father, almost 20 people saying yes to you in this service. God, I ask right now that you would show us how much you love us today, God. That for those people that are giving their life to you, that are saying, hey, God, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin to you today. I need you, Jesus. I call you my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for making me into a new creation. I believe you're alive, that you love me, you care for me. And they might be saying, I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. I don't exactly know, but I just feel you, Lord. I feel your Holy Spirit in this place today. And I want to say yes. God, would you show them how much you love them, the radical love of Jesus? You were seeking after them today. They're here for a reason. They have a divine purpose and a divine plan that's greater than what they could ever come up with on their own, that's greater than what this world has for them, than what culture tells them is available to them. But God, you have a divine plan and purpose for their life. God, would you reveal that to them in this place? Thank you, Lord, for interrupting us in this moment. There's so many people on the wrong path. And instantaneously, right now, I believe that their life is forever changed. We declare that in the name of Jesus. And also, Lord, we declare for those people in our lives that are far from you, that we're praying for today, we're thinking about today in this place. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would encounter them wherever they are at right now, Lord Jesus. And there might even be phone calls later today to somebody in this room saying, hey, you know what? I don't know what it was, But this morning, this afternoon, I just felt like I needed to reach out. I felt like I needed to pray for the first time. I felt like I needed to read my Bible. Or what church do you go to? Man, I just feel like I need to go to church with you sometime. Lord, I declare that people's lives are being changed right now in the name of Jesus. In all of our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we find ourselves, God, help us to run toward them the same way that you ran toward us, the same way you ran toward Saul. And God, I thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you empower the found. Help us to live more like you, Jesus, and to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And God, we believe that you're celebrating in heaven with all of the angels right now, the lost people that are being found right now. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. And let's give God a shout of praise. Come on. That's some good stuff, y'all. Hey, we love you so much, and we thank you. There's our prayer team right up here. If you need prayer for anything, you need a miracle in your life, physical healing, you need a financial miracle, if you want to pray for that person that you have on your mind, or maybe you just gave your life to Jesus, would you please come up? These people are trained, and they would love to pray with you and to talk with you about Jesus. God bless. We love you guys. See you next week.